Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, I want to share with you the commission of the ministry that God gave to Joseph Hedgecock, the founder of Servants of the Lord Ministries, many years ago. God said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They saw me for ministry, blessings, and gifts." He said, "I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled, that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me, just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time." Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to get to know Him, grow up in Him, and be ready for His appearing. Today I'll be speaking about apostles. We read in Mark's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 1, I'm reading to verse 15. This is Mark's Gospel, chapter 2, starting in verse 1. "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house." Verse 2. "And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them." Verse 3. "And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which is born of four." Verse 4. "And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay." Verse 5. "And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." Verse 6. "But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts." Verse 7. "Why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only?" Verse 8. "And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts?" Verse 9. "Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, and take up thy bed and walk." Verse 10. "But that ye may know the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the sick of the palsy." Verse 11. "I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house." Verse 12. "And immediately he rose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion." Verse 13. "And he went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them." Verse 14. "And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him." Verse 15. "And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him." Noah Webster in 1828 defined the word apostle and wrote, "A person deputed to execute some important business, but appropriately a disciple of Christ commissioned to preach the gospel. Persons were selected by Christ for this purpose." The religious Jews were at all of Jesus' meetings to analyze everything he did. These hypocrites did not stop Jesus from opening his heart to God and teaching the truth. He was even prompted to say something in response to what they were reasoning in their hearts about. Some followed Jesus because of the miracles and some because of the teaching. Jesus was directed by the Father to say, "Follow me." And this was enough for the first apostles to leave everything and follow. They were the disciples God used to help others and had a heart after God to find the Messiah. To execute important business in the kingdom, you need to speak the truth and not let your heart be troubled. Jesus said to all of his disciples in John 14, verses 1 to 4. This is John's Gospel, chapter 14. I'm reading verse 1. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Verse 2. "In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Verse 3. "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Verse 4. "And whither I go, you know, and the way, you know." Ambassadors of a great kingdom normally have physical resources to rely on to carry out their duties. His disciples were not given an earthly mansion or a statement salary to be God's ambassadors. Having some earthly gain and power would attract the wrong people. Jesus prepared a place in heaven for his disciples where it would last forever. He then told them they could experience his kingdom by abiding in him through the Spirit. There is no reason your heart should be troubled unless you are serving two masters. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 to 13. This is in the book of Philippians chapter 4. I'm reading verse 11. "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatever state I am, therewith to be content." Verse 12. "I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." Verse 13. "I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me." Paul's circumstances were up and down, but he knew what to do without ever leaning to his own understanding. He was not following a list of rules, but God's instructions by the Spirit. God's power and authority to represent him is not limited. The power to not sin is enough evidence that the kingdom of God is already here by the Spirit with the devil running around. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 2, verses 13 to 16. This is in the book of Philippians chapter 2, I'm reading verse 13. "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Verse 14. "Do all things without murmurings and disputings." Verse 15. "That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." Verse 16. "Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." Doing anything without asking God is just dead works. Those led by the Spirit are harmless. They do not react. A sudden change of circumstance is not an issue for them. By faith, God will do his good pleasure, even when this world is passing away. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 14 and verse 17. This is Romans chapter 14, I'm reading verse 17. "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." Everyone living and functioning in his kingdom now has peace and joy, even when situations suddenly change. The joy of the Lord comes from abiding in his presence, and the peace is developed in circumstances that are not peaceful through repentance from dead works. Jesus said in John 16, verses 7 to 12. This is in John's Gospel, chapter 16. I'm reading verse 7. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." Verse 8. "And when he's come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." Verse 9. of sin, because they believe not on me. Verse 10, of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Verse 11, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Verse 12, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Jesus explained to the apostles in the upper room how the kingdom coming at Pentecost would function by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit would expose and challenge those deceiving themselves inside and outside the church. Those living in the kingdom of God had access to truth through the Spirit and were only to speak as He directed them. Lucifer was created very beautiful and as the subtlest creature given authority to convince man to trust and obey God. He got lifted up in pride because he did not like that job and became the devil. Now he's serving those on the earth that have a confidence in the flesh, serving two masters and deceiving themselves. Peter was speaking about Jesus in Acts chapter 5, verse 31 and 32. This is in the book of Acts chapter 5. I'm reading verse 31. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a saviour, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Verse 32. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, through the forgiveness of sins, is Lord now. Our resources come through obedience to the divine will in thought, purpose, and action. The power of the Holy Spirit is given without restriction to those who have repented from dead works. Jesus was speaking to John's disciples in Matthew chapter 11, verses 4 to 6. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, I'm reading verse 4. Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. Verse 5. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Verse 6. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Matthew 11:6 says, And blessed, happy, fortunate, and to be envied is he who takes no offence at me and finds no cause for stumbling in or through me, and he is not hindered from seeing the truth. The kingdom came through Jesus before Pentecost because he was led and controlled by the Spirit personally. If you are born again, you have the Spirit in you. No one has authority to do what they want when they want. All authority was given to Jesus, and John expected him to remove the religious Jews, kick out the Romans, and lock up the devil. However, man is the problem. If someone follows their own dreams and desires on earth, God uses the devil like a sheepdog to bring them to their senses through reaping the consequences of sin. Now the kingdom of God is here by grace so that you can walk by faith. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I'm reading verse 7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Those serving two masters come under conviction when faith in God is explained. You can have a confidence in the flesh, faith in others, your pastor, a church denomination, money, politics, and yourself. What you rely on is what you have faith in. The religious believe God helps those who help themselves and only submit to God on bigger issues when they need help. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. What you can see with your eyes is temporal, and you cannot take anything with you. Those who have studied with their minds believe you will end up poor in this life if you follow biblical guidelines. Christianity, however, is not just another religion, but a personal relationship with God by the Spirit. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13, This is 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and reading verse 13. And now abides faith, hope, and charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. Everything temporal will pass through the fire and burn up. You can take with you a life of faith, hope, and charity based on his provision, following Christ by the Spirit. Jesus said to his disciples in John 16, verses 13 and 14. This is John's Gospel, chapter 16. I'm reading verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you the things to come. Verse 14. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. The disciples following Jesus were promised that by faith alone they would be directed to the truth regardless of their strengths, talents, ability, knowledge, or understanding. God uses situations that look impossible, so his people ask the questions they need to ask. God's ways are higher, so if something makes sense, it's man's wisdom. To learn in the kingdom, you need to stay humble, obey first, and then get understanding later. This is opposed to the world that relies on the knowledge of good and evil. The Holy Spirit is the only means to come to the truth on any issue. Jesus was speaking to the Jews in John 5, verses 37 to 39. This is John's Gospel, chapter 5, and reading verse 37. And the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me, and ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. Verse 38. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Verse 39. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. The word of truth will abide in you if you have believed and relied on Christ through hearing his voice and see the shape of the Father. To follow Christ intellectually, you don't have to experience godly sorrow, change, or confess your sin. Revelation will not abide in you unless you get to the root reason through deep repentance why you do not personally keep his word in a trial. At the root of all sin is a lie that you believe to be the truth for the sake of your flesh. If you read the whole Bible without receiving conviction to direct you to the word of truth, you will go backwards, not forwards. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 19 to 21. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2, I'm reading verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are his, and let every one that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Verse 20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honour and some to dishonour. Verse 21. If a man therefore purges himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honour, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and be prepared unto every good work. There's only two categories mentioned here. If you have a confidence in the flesh, you have chosen ignorance. Those who cannot hear God and make excuses will be left behind. God can still use those with a confidence in the flesh for ignoble purposes. The kingdom of God is already here by the Spirit, so if he cannot use you for anything, your time is running out. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I'm reading verse 19. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he takes the wise in their own craftiness. Verse 20. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Those led by his Spirit can go anywhere, meet someone, and achieve something that is part of God's perfect plan by faith. They do not have to understand with their mind first. I had to overcome my flesh and make no excuses for disobedience to the Spirit. Scientists that need to see something repeated several times in a laboratory before they believe are spiritually trapped by their method of learning and spiritually blind. Beware of the wrong system of learning in this world that is also being used in the church today. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 to 31. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm reading verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Verse 27. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Verse 28. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. Verse 29. That no flesh should glory in his presence. Verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, whom of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Verse 31. That according as is written, he that glories, let him glory in the Lord. You should be following Christ and submitted to and admiring those who have learned how to hear, trust, and obey by denying themselves, taking up their cross daily. It's not difficult to glorify God by faith, following him step by step. Churches using educated and naturally gifted leaders are not building the Church of Jesus Christ. Abilities and strengths given by God belong to him and must be used for the purpose he intended. Using natural talents without asking God is sin. His kingdom is here. And you need to know God's conditions and restrictions on what is available by the Spirit. By asking the Lord consistently, you will have his wisdom and his righteousness and experience sanctification and redemption daily. Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. This is Proverbs chapter 3. I'm reading verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thy own understanding. Verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Those with the confidence in the flesh believe lies that God gave you a brain and expects you to use it. Using your mind will put yourself on the broad road heading for destruction. Jesus is Lord, and you do not have all the facts to make decisions. You do not have to ask God absolutely everything, but you can if you want. In this world, you are expected to make decisions with the knowledge of good and evil. When you believe that you do not need to ask God something small, you are deciding it is unimportant. Jesus was praying in John 17, verses 1 to 3. This is John's Gospel, chapter 17, and reading verse 1. And these words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. Verse 2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, John 17:3 says, And this is eternal life. It means to know, to perceive, recognize, become acquainted with, and understand you, the only true and real God, and likewise to know him, Jesus, as the Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah, whom you have sent. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity, 2016 reprint version, in Chapter 1 on Getting Started, on pages 15 and 16, Joseph Hedgecott writes, God has authorized you to have an intimate relationship with him and his Son. John 17:3 says, And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. The word know means to know in a great variety of applications, absolutely, and with many implications. Allow, be aware of, feel, have, knowledge, come to know, get knowledge of, perceive. Strong's dictionary in the Greek is number 1097. One root definition refers to the intimacy between a husband and a wife. In other words, it means to know deeply and personally. You may be familiar with this verse, but stop for a moment and meditate on it. You were given the gift of eternal life so you could know your Heavenly Father, Jesus our Lord, and the Holy Spirit, who is your teacher and comforter. God longs for an intimate relationship with you. Everything in this book is about developing a deeply personal relationship with the Godhead. This relationship has nothing to do with works, ministry, or maturity. Your primary focus should always be on having John 17:3 working in and through your life consistently. It's time to go back to the first works. I strongly encourage you to read this book as if you are starting over. Even if you are a seasoned saint, mature minister, go back and make sure the first works are established in you. Remember that your trust in Jesus is directly proportional to the level you have fallen in love with him and know him. When you love him unconditionally, you will acknowledge him in all your ways and obey him because you trust him with your whole heart. You only trust God to the level that you love him. You should start to see obvious growth in your relationship with God as you process the truths in this book. Your ability to acknowledge God and obey him should dramatically increase. Both your love for him and your trust in him should deepen. The process of old things passing away and all things becoming new should become a way of life as you continue to repent of the hindrances God reveals to you. Jesus was authorized to give the gift of eternal life to those with a heart after God. Thoughts will come to your mind with this gift, as it is the ability to know God personally and intimately and ask him any question like a best friend or spouse. By grace through faith, there is no excuse for not doing the perfect will of the Father in heaven. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, I'm reading verse 21. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Those who think eternal life is something for later are ignorant. They want to believe they will live forever through the forgiveness of sins when they get born again by calling Jesus Lord. Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 19 and reading to verse 22. This is 2 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 19. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. Verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Verse 21. For it being better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than after they have known it, turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Verse 22. But it's happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Any teaching that does not involve conviction and correction may promise freedom, but it's only a way that seems right. The fruit in your life tells you if you have established Jesus as Lord or not. You're either continuing in the faith or going backwards, justifying earthly gain for the sake of your own flesh. The way of righteousness is the narrow way, and if you're not on it, you believe lies and will end up wallowing in the mire too. Many still see Christianity as just another religion and look for miracles, breakthrough, and blessings, living carnal lives like the Corinthians. Before I joined the ministry in 1989, I was a hotshot preacher using methods to serve such people on the Broadway and heading for destruction myself. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 15. This is Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Verse 13. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. The word saint in Strong's is number 40. It means an awful thing, and compared with another word means sacred, physically pure, morally blameless, or religiously, ceremonially consecrated. Mostly holy, one thing, a saint. The kingdom of God is not a political organization with apostles, releasing a statement now and again with rules for everyone to follow. You have to hear, trust, and obey the Spirit yourself to even live in his kingdom. The church in the port city of Ephesus, serving two masters, had become political. They were looking for a structure, and Paul explained the church was founded on apostles for the sake of the saints, not for those serving two masters. As long as there are saints on the earth, there will be apostles. The office and calling of an apostle by grace is to equip those who keep themselves unspotted from this world. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 28. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm reading verse 28. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, and after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. Christ is the head, but he chose the apostle to be first, to bring sound teaching and the rightly revealed word of God. Do not be jealous. If someone is first, he is ahead of you and is a pioneer. He will make mistakes. Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 11 to 14. This is 1 Timothy chapter 1, I'm reading verse 11. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust, verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Verse 13. Who was before a blasphemer, and a persecutor, and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Verse 14. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. The apostle is given more grace under extreme conditions to learn and function correctly with Jesus' Lord through deep repentance to help those still overcoming sin and coming along from behind. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1. This is Hebrews chapter 6, I'm reading verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. Paul made mistakes under pressure, but with the grace could learn from his experiences. A dead work is any work that the Holy Spirit did not tell you to do, that you did for the sake of your flesh. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 15 to 17. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 4, I'm reading verse 15. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Verse 16. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Verse 17. For this cause have I sent unto you Timothy, who is my beloved son, and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Corinth had a large school run by primary school teachers, according to Paul. In contrast to them, Paul used the grace of God to learn lessons quickly on the narrow way through trials and hardships. He found it was possible to abide in Christ in all circumstances, by asking God everything and not using his mind to make decisions. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15, verses 13 and 14, This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15. I'm reading verse 13. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Verse 14. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Get value for money. Do not financially support those who are telling you what you want to hear, but support those who God uses to bring conviction so you do not fall into the ditch yourself. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 10. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm reading verse 10. Therefore I write these things, being absent, least being present, I should use sharpness according to the power which the Lord hath given me to edification and not to destruction. You might feel intimidated or threatened by someone who knows more than you do, but you will not get this feeling with an apostle. Paul's ministry was based on truth delivered in love, not the knowledge of good and evil. The apostles equipped saints, but also required them to repent from dead religious works frequently. We read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 14, verses 25 to 33. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 14, starting in verse 25. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, verse 26, and if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Verse 27, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Verse 28, for which of you, intending to build a tower, sit not down first and counts the cost, whether you have sufficient to finish it. Verse 29, least happily after he had laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it began to mock him. Verse 30, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Verse 31, or what king going to make war against another king sits not down first, and consulting whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. Verse 32, or else while the other is yet a great way off, he's sending an ambassage and desires conditions of peace. Verse 33, so likewise, whoever he be of you that forsakes not all that he has, he cannot be my disciple. In the book, My Sheep Hear My Voice, 2021 edition, in chapter 7, on Count the Cost, on page 82, Joseph Hedgecock writes, just as a builder, you must count the cost before starting a construction project. You must count the cost to follow Jesus Christ. If you refuse to pay the price for Jesus to become your whole life, you will never enjoy constant communion with God. You'll not be led by the Holy Spirit consistently. Many believers make an effort to walk in this message for a season. However, they only get to know the Lord in a limited way. Their lack of success is the direct result of their unwillingness to give up their lordship. They refuse to count the cost or pay the price to follow Jesus because they do not trust him. Even though they profess to have faith in God, they're reluctant to give him full control. Jesus said to count the cost. Every growing city adds up the cost of what will happen if improvements are not implemented within a certain period of time. What will it cost you to still be Lord of your own life and make decisions with your mind? You will need to settle the cost unless you let him be your boss. The one who makes the decision has to pay the bills. You will lose things to follow Christ, but your name will be found in the Lamb's Book of Life along with other great saints. The cost to follow Jesus increases because there is less time to do the same work. Joseph Hedgecock would say the price you have to pay to follow Christ accrues interest the longer you leave it. What you hold on to in this life, you cannot take with you anyway. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 to 21. This is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I'm reading verse 18. And all things are of God, who have reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Those who confess their sins and humble themselves get fresh grace and mercy to repent and change. The Jews were given the ministry of reconciliation through the law. Through conviction, they were to find the root issues in their own lives and pass on lessons they learned to others as pioneers of the truth. They did not want to do that because of pride. Conviction is always a blessing. Now the ministry of reconciliation has been passed to the apostles first and to the church as ambassadors to the rest of the world. Paul also wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I'm reading verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Your life will change if you are reconciled to God. If not, you cannot help anyone else. You will lose something of eternal value every day if you are not reconciled to God. You will never lose if you let go and let God. Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, I'm reading verse 7. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Verse 8. For everyone that asketh receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. Those chosen by God will be given what they need, doing God's perfect will. Joseph Hitchcock always taught me that he never had to kick down doors or force them open by human effort or persuasion. He taught the door would open easily if you are seeking his kingdom and his righteousness first. Priorities are important. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 to 9. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm reading verse 7. At least I should be exalted above measure. Through the abundance of the revelations, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Verse 8. For this thing I besought the Lord three times, that it might depart from me. Verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Those using their minds to study the Bible or come to truth will accumulate knowledge, not truth, and get puffed up. Paul needed a thorn in his flesh to keep him humble. Knowledge must be balanced with wisdom. Paul was getting godly wisdom gradually in trials, forcing him to ask God and find alternative solutions on the narrow way. He felt obligated to write this as a testimony to the carnal Corinthians that were focused on a deliverance-type ministry that was not making disciples. James wrote in James chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. This is in the book of James chapter 1, I'm reading verse 18. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be kind of a first fruits of his creatures. Verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. The word swift in Strong's is number 5036. Of uncertain infinity, it means fleet. That is figuratively prompt or ready. Swift. James wrote to those scattered in the persecution, chosen by God to spread the good news. On the day of Pentecost, they were born again through the word of truth, convicted that they had personally crucified the Messiah. Those scattered in the persecution lost their comfortable lives and a good income. In other countries, they were losing their ability to hear and could not control their speaking. anger was manifesting because they were thinking about what they had lost following Christ. The Jews could hear God clearly before the persecution started, under ordinary circumstances, giving the good confession as part of their repentance from dead works. James warned them to be swift to hear under pressure, as issues would escalate otherwise. Noah Webster in 1828 defined the word fleet as, number one, swift of pace, moving or able to move with rapidity, nimble, light, and quick in motion, or moving with lightness and celerity, as a fleet horse or dog. Number two, moving with velocity as fleet winds. Number three, light, superficially fruitful, or thin, not penetrating deep as soil. Number four, skimming the surface. To be swift means to skim over the surface. It is dangerous to think about your circumstances on the narrow way. If you know God loves you, decide to obey God now before he gives you a direction, so you will be swift to hear and obey. If you start to think about what he says, you will disobey. Fix your mind on things above. I've seen Joseph Hedgecock, the author of the book My Sheep Hear My Voice, go on high alert when tired or facing a change of circumstances. When I was in my training, I was thinking about my own needs, like the lack of sleep on a long trip. I had to repent. Jesus was speaking to his disciples in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 19, verses 28 to 30. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 19, I'm reading verse 28. And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Verse 29, And every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life. Verse 30, But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Those who have consistently made Jesus Lord now by the Spirit are part of his kingdom and will get to rule with him. The minimum qualification for an inheritance in God's kingdom is losing something for following Christ. The first apostles were being groomed to rule over the 12 tribes of Israel if they remained humble. Judas Iscariot's departure from the truth left a vacancy, as he was serving two masters. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. This is Galatians chapter 5, and reading verse 13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. Verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You fulfill the law by loving God and loving your neighbor as yourself. Those called by God are chosen to fulfill the law where God has placed them. Many are called, but few are chosen. God has a great selection to choose from over many generations of the church to fill any vacancies in his kingdom. James wrote in James chapter 1, verses 9 to 12. This is James chapter 1, I'm reading verse 9. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. Verse 10. But the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. Verse 11. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, that it withers the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Verse 12. Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Those in humble circumstances have a head start because they have less to lose. The Church of Jesus Christ is still first in the queue right now for any vacancies, if they are using the grace of God wisely. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 1, verses 1 to 6. This is Romans chapter 1. I'm reading verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God, verse 2, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, verse 3, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, verse 4, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, verse 5, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, verse 6, among whom are ye also called of Jesus Christ. For more information on apostles, please read the chapter on the fivefold ministry in the book Light by Joseph Hedgecock. The word apostle in Strong's is number 652. It comes from another word which means a delegate, specifically an ambassador of the gospel, officially a commissioner of Christ with miraculous powers, apostle, messenger, he that is sent. You may have an apostolic calling yourself because eternal life is still a mystery to those in the church using their minds, even the leaders. Paul's authority was international as he was preaching repentance from dead works, not bad works, but he had not yet been to Rome. Some ministries try to make things easier for the sake of culture. The good news is that man does not have to go to hell making decisions with his or her own mind anymore. God is transmitting his perfect will for anyone who wants to listen, trust, and obey. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verses 27 to verse 30. This is John's Gospel, chapter 10. I'm reading verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. Verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Verse 29. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Everyone everywhere needs to repent of dead works using their minds or perish. In the flesh there is no protection or safety from evil. If you are wise, you will forsake your reasoning and learn to hear his voice in all areas. Jesus was one with his Father, even in his humanity, through the Holy Spirit. You can experience the same and abide in his hand when you consistently obey the Spirit. Apostles have the same relationship Jesus had with his Father by the Holy Spirit. Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. This is 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'm reading verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. An apostle has a good grip on eternal life, and he knows what it means to hear and obey instantly. You cannot pass on something you are not using and enjoying yourself. Peter on the day of Pentecost said in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 25 to 27, this is in the book of Acts, chapter 2, I'm reading verse 25. For David speaks concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he's on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Verse 26. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. Verse 27. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. If you stay humble, you will get all sufficiency of grace. When sin abounds in this world, grace is much more abounding for the sake of his bride. The Father raising Jesus from the dead was proof of God's sufficient grace. Jesus got power through holiness and submitting himself to God's plan. If you have grace, use it to do his perfect will. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. This is in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, and read verse 19. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Verse 20, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Prophets of the Old Testament obeyed like Christ, not thinking of their own needs or seeking a better life for themselves. They're to stay humble and rely on God's grace and mercy to complete their God-given task. They lived and died for the task they were given without ever receiving the gift of eternal life. Now a heavenly calling has been passed on to the apostles with the gift of eternal life. That was a mystery. You get citizenship in heaven now by keeping yourself unspotted from this world using the gift of eternal life. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. This is Hebrews chapter 3, I'm reading verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Verse 2. Who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. Verse 3. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honour than the house. Verse 4. For every house is builded by some man, but he that builds all things is God. Verse 5. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken of after. Verse 6. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost says today, if you will hear his voice. Our profession is to let go and let God. He can make a way where there is no way. Jesus intercedes for you and can talk you through any difficulties you might have obeying and overcoming the flesh. He needed every word that came from the mouth of the Father to live and serve. To be part of God's household, you have to hear and obey his voice. An apostle is a housekeeper, speaking and correcting those to whom he is sent by the Lord. Moses did not enter the promised land because he hit the rock in anger. Everyone in Christ with a calling will be tested to see if they use the gift of eternal life before they are commissioned in their calling. Never take matters into your own hands. Jesus said in Luke 16 verses 10 to 12. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, starting in verse 10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is also unjust also in the much. Verse 11. If thou therefore, ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Verse 12. And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Hear God in small things, and if you're faithful, he will lead you to the next thing God wants you to hear as well. An apostle of Christ has to maintain holiness and be faithful in the small things first. It took me 5 years to get a basic ordination with on-the-job training. Then it took another 5 years to be ordained in my specific calling. I saw miracles along the way. However, I had to learn to be weak first and hear God. And that was why it took me so long. Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9 to 11. This is 1 Timothy chapter 4. I'm reading verse 9. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. Verse 10. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Verse 11. These things command and teach. In the book Light, in chapter 8, on 6 steps to the anointing, God's authority, on page 55, Joseph Hedgecott writes, there are many believers acting like they are prophets, pastors, or apostles today, who just accepted that calling yesterday, They have had no training from God and are not submitted to his control. It does not make any sense for you to submit your heart and spirit to a so-called authority who has not been trained by the Holy Spirit. They must go through the necessary training, schooling, if they're going to be used and anointed by God. I felt like a trainee apostle under Joseph when I was ordained. My faith had not been tested in all areas. I'm now a full-time ordained minister of the gospel with connections in 100 countries of the world, but still a part-time student. Jesus said in John 17, verses 4 to 6, this is John's gospel, chapter 17, I'm reading verse 4. I have glorified thee on the earth, I have finished the work which thou hast gavest me to do. Verse 5. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Verse 6. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. The things God directs are all glorious if they are done with his anointing and resources. Promoted and put over parts of the world where I did not feel qualified, my intellect could not help me with the different cultures I was sent to reach. I had to humble myself, deny myself consistently, to serve, pay a price, and carry out orders. It felt like I was doing dead religious works when I started. I kept his word and the commission I was given, even when circumstances changed. We read in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 6 to 8. This is in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, I'm reading verse 6. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Verse 8. Wherefore he says, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Jesus led out those saints in Abraham's bosom, believing in a Redeemer to come. Because they had a humble spirit, God used them. Jesus gave gifts to men to help those born again under the new covenant to lay hold of eternal life with the same humbleness of mind they had. Jesus said in John 5:30, this is John's Gospel, chapter 5, I'm reading verse 30. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father, which has sent me. Jesus himself relied on thoughts from the Father coming to his mind, and he was deciding as he was bidden to decide. Those who consult their own will are unwilling to trust him. To consult your own will, you have to use your mind, and Jesus never did that. You cannot be an apostle without becoming like Christ. Paul gave this testimony in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 10. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm reading verse 10. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I'm weak, then I'm strong. His power is made perfect in complicated situations when you are weak or feeble. He is the one who decides what you really need and what he will do with his power. Rely on his spirit to reveal the answers you need at the right time. Paul was not afraid to experience trials similar to Christ and overcome them with patience. If he failed under a little pressure, this gave him time to learn and make the necessary changes through repentance. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 9 and 10. I'm reading 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 9. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Paul was always strong and ready for the next level because he was working on his foundation. He had an abundance of grace and looked forward to trials and difficulties on the narrow way to test what he had learned would hold under pressure or not. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 to 18. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I'm reading verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Verse 17. And if any man defiles the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Verse 18. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seems to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. There is fruit from making the wrong choices. I remained foolish and got the same results as Joseph Hedgecock by obeying the Holy Spirit in the same way. Sometimes I got better results by the Spirit's power, but only because Joseph gave me a head start. Use your intellect and you will quench the Spirit. Use your mind to make decisions and God will have to destroy your temple. Rely on the Holy Spirit and the gift of eternal life instead. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 11, verses 29 to 32. This is Romans chapter 11, I'm reading verse 29. For the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Verse 30. For as ye in times past have not believed, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. Verse 31. Even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. Verse 32. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. The Jewish nation was commissioned to help the whole world. God is not going to change his mind about their calling, but they were replaced temporarily. God declared that both Jews and Gentiles needed help because of unbelief, through a confidence in the flesh, by sending his son in the likeness of sinful flesh. We were all shown how to obey the Father through the gift of the Holy Spirit. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 5, verses 14, I'm reading to verse 21. This is in the book of Romans, chapter 5, starting in verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. Verse 15. But not as the offense, also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Verse 16. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offences unto justification. Verse 17. For if by one man's offence death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Verse 18. Therefore, as by the offence of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the disobedience of one shall many be made righteous. Verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offence might abound, but where sin abound, grace did much more abound. Verse 21. But as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. The knowledge of the law was given to the Jews to stop sin reigning. The law was causing people to see the error of their ways before Christ sent the Holy Spirit. The Jews were given the task of reaching others with testimonies of his everlasting love, grace, and mercy through conviction and correction. Now righteousness can reign with the gift of eternal life. Jesus said in Matthew 18, verses 3 and 4. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, I'm reading verse 3. and said, Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. The humble get all the help they need through their relationship with Christ. Humble yourself and embrace the correction you need, and you'll grow quickly in complicated situations. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2, I'm reading verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. With grace you can do anything. Lazy believers want God to speak audibly and directly without any hardships. Those who are wise have proven they are doing the perfect will of God under trial with the form of communication they have. Any form of communication is valid if you are seeking righteousness. Your faith has to be purified first before everything functions properly. We read in Luke 17 verses 5 and read to verse 10. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, starting in verse 5. And the apostles said unto the Lord, Increase our faith. Verse 6. And the Lord said, If ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamore tree, Be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Verse 7. But which of you, having a servant ploughing or feeding cattle, would say unto him by and by, when he's come from the field, go and sit down to meat. Verse 8. And would not rather say unto him, Make ready, wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterwards thou shalt eat and drink. Verse 9. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things which were commanded him? I trow not. Verse 10. So likewise, ye, when you shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, We are unprofitable servants, and we've done that which was our duty to do. Christ is Lord. The highest position in the kingdom is an unprofitable servant. You will be refreshed and not worn out serving in the kingdom. Joseph Hedgecock, the author of the book, My Sheep and My Voice, proved that after a long trip, he would come back feeling more refreshed. He only needed a few days' rest after a long flight. Everything God directs comes with his provision. You do not need to think about your own needs. The parable was recorded to increase pure faith in complicated situations, not dead faith in your own strength. God is trying to energize your life. The priority is faith expressed in love through obedience to the Spirit, not more knowledge. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 4. I'm reading the book of Hebrews chapter 4, starting in verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left of us, entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Verse 3. For we which have believed do enter into the rest, as he said, As I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Verse 4. For he spoke in a certain place of the seventh day of this wise, and God did rest from the seventh day from all his works. Verse 5. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Verse 6. Seeing therefore it remains that some must enter therein, they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Verse 7. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Verse 8, for if Jesus had given them rest, then would he, and not afterwards, have spoken of another day. Verse 9, there remains therefore a rest to the people of God. Verse 10, for he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Verse 11, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Verse 13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Verse 15, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. Sharing the message in different parts where God sent me was part of my training. Whenever I started to share my testimony in fear and trembling, I would imitate Joseph Hedgecock and speak like him without changing anything. I used the commission God gave to Joseph because every time I shared it, it was anointed. Being faithful to my own ideas and consulting my own will would have changed the commission. I made the effort to say or read out the commission in every public meeting. Whenever I failed to give the commission exactly, I saw this as credible evidence I had not taken thoughts under control in my sharing. I was basically talking when I should be listening, saying things I did not need to say in my message. Even if people came to repentance, I had to accept the message was not necessarily delivered as he wanted. Only those who cease from their own works have entered the rest of God. Humbling yourself is not doing God favors, but an opportunity for you to do what is right by grace through faith, following simple instructions. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 11, verses 33 to 36. This is Romans chapter 11, starting in verse 33. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. Verse 34. For who had known the mind of the Lord, and who has been his counselor? Verse 35. Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? Verse 36. For of him, and through him, and to him, are all things, to whom be glory for ever. Amen. Rather than seeing conviction through the law as a blessing, the Jews chose to interpret what God said and made rules for the sake of their flesh. The church is doing the same today. They have private interpretations based on a few scripture verses and have created a religion causing many to stumble. Jesus said in Matthew 18, verses 5 to 7. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18. I'm reading verse 5. And whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receives me. Verse 6. But whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Verse 7. Woe unto the world because of the offences, for it must needs be that offences come. But woe to that man by whom the offence cometh. I saw ministries close their doors to Joseph Hedgecock, that he was sent to hell. Later they completely disappeared or ended suddenly. Only God knows why. in that situation, I had to use my faith to believe that God was going to open an even more effective door elsewhere. This often happened with just a few weeks before Joseph arrived from the USA for a trip that I was coordinating, which was covering many countries. God did a number of miracles with a demonstration of power or wisdom to open new doors. I did not understand in the early days, but to fulfill all righteousness, sometimes a larger or well-established ministry had to reject my efforts to reach them with the truth. The judgment is severe on those who know the truth and adjust it for the sake of their flesh. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. This is in the book of Philippians chapter 3. I'm reading verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Verse 2. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, and beware of the concision. Verse 3. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. The word beware in Strong's is number 991, a primary verb to look at, literally or figuratively, behold, beware, lie, look, onto, perceive, regard, or see, sight, or take heed. Apostles are sent to speak about eternal life. I had authority to correct doctrines in the church that would hinder eternal life or true spiritual learning. Those building their own version of church sounded like a dog barking when they heard the truth. Paul said, beware or flush out your enemies. An enemy out in the open is as good as a friend. Leave him in the shadows and he might betray you later. Joseph Hedgecock was often sent to those baptized in lemon juice. A sense of humor helped him discover who had ears to hear at the end of his message. Jesus was speaking to his earthly parents in Luke chapter 2, verses 49 to 52. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, starting in verse 49. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Verse 50. And they understood not the saying which he spoke unto them. Verse 51. And he went down with them, and came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. Verse 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and man. An apostle is always busy about the Father's business. That can be annoying. It's not a job with set hours like 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. I believe you need to get up before the devil gets up and be about God's business day and night as God directs. Solomon wrote in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. This is Proverbs chapter 3. I'm reading verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Verse 2. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Verse 3. Then on mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Verse 4. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. God can give you favor with men, even in complicated situations, if you stay humble and always use grace and mercy. The way you treat others, God will treat you. Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 5. I'm reading verses 2 to 11. This is 1 Peter 5. I'm reading verse 2. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Verse 3. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. Verse 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away. Verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you. Be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Verse 6. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Verse 10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Verse 11, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Be ready for anything. Have a ready mind to feed the flock of God with truth delivered in love. Serve any group of people who are trying to hear his voice. It is the God of all grace that will establish and strengthen you in whatever position you find yourself. When I started, I had a habit of saying I was traveling many nations, gave my title at each meeting. But it was my life in Christ, on the road, facing many challenges that I shared. I was a coordinator and not there to direct anything. Jesus is the director, and we are just the ones carrying out his orders. If you stop asking God the small things, like what to wear in the morning, then you are missing out his care for you. James wrote in James chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. This is James chapter 4. I'm reading verse 5. Do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit that dwells in us lusteth to envy? Verse 6. But he gives more grace. Wherefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. Without asking God consistently, you will end up on the broad way heading for destruction. If you are humble and obey the spirit perfectly, you will avoid any unnecessary suffering. You should be preparing for eternity now. Change operating systems and your method of learning and get on the narrow way. We serve a jealous God, and he wants all of your faith, not some. He will have all your faith if you ask him more questions. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. This is Philippians chapter 4, and read verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Verse 9, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Philippians 4:8 says, for the rest, brethren, whatsoever is true, whatsoever is worthy of reverence or is honorable and seemly, whatsoever is just, whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is lovely and lovable, whatsoever is kind and winsome and gracious, if there is any virtue and excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on and weigh and take account of these things. Fix your mind on them. Jesus is Lord of all, and that includes thinking. The church that is ineffective in this world has rejected God's wisdom in favor of man's by leaning to their own understanding. Your thinking should be limited to a list like Paul's, with few exceptions. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I'm reading verse 16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, for who has known or understood the mind, the counsels and the purposes of the Lord, so as to guide and instruct him and give him knowledge? But we have the mind of Christ, the Messiah, and do hold the thoughts, feelings and purposes of his heart. Those abiding in Christ have entered the rest and get their wisdom by hearing from God like Christ did. We read in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 39. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, I'm reading verse 39. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. The mind of Christ was steady under pressure. He never consulted his own will. He prayed instead. The apostles were told to watch and pray before Jesus was arrested. They were helpless without his corporate anointing and scattered. They had put their faith in the Messiah, like many have faith in their own pastor today. Peter was trying to be faithful, followed Jesus in spiritualized flesh, and denied the Lord three times. We read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, verses 31 and 32. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 22. I'm reading verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Verse 32. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen my brethren. Jesus had to pray for Peter to overcome the guilt and godly sorrow associated with his denial. Jesus prayed that through his repentance, the whole church would avoid making the same mistake. Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. This is 2 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Verse 2. That you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. When the anointing came through the Holy Spirit, the greatest transformation took place in Peter on the day of Pentecost, because he repented of dead works. Even though he was a fisherman, Paul referred to him as the rock, because he was using the same operating system as Christ, who is the chief cornerstone after Pentecost. The apostles are sent to lay the foundation of asking God everything. They were chosen by Jesus to bring the message of repentance from dead works that Paul also preached. Prophets are usually sent to warn people of the coming wrath and repent of bad works before time runs out. But the cornerstone has to be laid properly for you to repent of all your sins. Peter continued in 2 Peter chapter 3. I'm reading verses 3 to verse 7. This is 2 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Verse 5. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and of the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Verse 6. Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. Verse 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. God calls many people. They're not always God's first choice, but he can only use those who make no excuses for disobedience to the will of God and wisdom of God. Joseph Hedgecott, the founder of Servants of the Lord Ministries, was an apostle sent in these last days to those with a heart after God. He was trained in the hills of Tennessee on mountain trails, where if things went wrong, it would take a long time to find him. There was no margin for error if he did not hear the right voice. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 3 in verse 5. This is in Ephesians chapter 3. I'm reading verse 5. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. You do not become an apostle by your own efforts. It's a calling. Many are called, but few are chosen. Paul recognized that he could become a castaway if he did not keep working on his calling. If you want to hear, get to know, and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to make a fresh start and get on the narrow path, sow in the Spirit daily, experience full salvation and freedom through regular repentance, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hitchcock. If you want to grow up spiritually, not be earthly minded, and come to maturity, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually by Joseph Hitchcock. Do not accept a counterfeit version of Christianity based on religious dead works, where you do not have to deny yourself daily and take up your cross. You need to make sure that you get on the narrow way. The broad road that leads to destruction looks good. It's signposted heaven this way, and many well-meaning, good people attending church are on the broad road. If you know you have resisted the truth and want to know why, then I can recommend the book, The Guilty Prison, Revised Edition by Joseph Hitchcock. Today I've shared a message about apostles. An apostle is someone special. And for the whole body of Christ, wherever he's sent, only a few have an international responsibility. The apostle has to be prepared by God and learn through many trials and difficulties. The lessons they learn are valuable and time-saving. You will do well to listen to them. However, in the end, you have to do the will of God yourself and overcome temptation on the narrow way. With or without their help, you must learn to obey and not lean to your own understanding. Those of you with a high calling, do not let yourself be contaminated by those who say that God has given you a brain and expects you to use it. Lay hold on the gift of eternal life. You will have to use this gift and demonstrate this gift to others in the church. Ignorantly, still using their minds, trying to get to understand the things of God. Everything you need for your calling will come by grace. Your part is not to lean to your own understanding, but ask God everything. If you miss some details, confess and admit that you were thinking when you should be listening. Let me pray with you. Father in heaven, for those who are listening right now and never heard about apostles or don't know what it's all about, Father, give them insight. Help them understand that these are men who are founding the church, building the church, equipping the church. Father, give them ears to hear. Father, also those who have a high calling, I pray you encourage them at this time, that you use them. And use them in complicated situations so they can learn the lessons you want them to learn in the shortest possible time. I pray in Jesus' precious name. You can find a summary of the scriptures used in today's message below the video, either written out or via a link to our website. Our contact details will follow at the end of this message. God bless you and thank you for listening.